This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Don.
There may be some blood.
Good evening to Don.
Oh.
Good evening to Don.
I need some shake to bring to the yard.
And good evening to myself. Totho Orthopedics. That's nothing. I'm sorry. That's a nothing burger, Don.
No, you said
Totho Orthopedics.
You said Totho. You didn't do it, and you did.
No, you said I said Torthopedics, didn't you? Totho Orthopedics. I said Totho. You know what? It was a rough moment. I do 316 reads a day.
Oh, here we go.
I flubbed one Tortho, okay? Let's get in some diamond notes brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And for diamond notes, something was said during the Yankee broadcast yesterday that alarmed some people. Let's hear what Michael said again.
Daddy's happy!
Oh, I thought that was a nothing burger.
What was the it was early. I hadn't turned the game on yet. What was he referring to?
Well, Cabrera got his first MLB hit.
And they showed a picture of the dad.
They showed the dad and he was happy and I saw it was trending at one point. I'm like, it wasn't that big of a deal. I really expected it to be something like, cuz people were saying this is a new drop, you got to use this. I'm like, I got five
texts saying it was a drop, 5 tweets. Let me hear it again.
Daddy's happy.
I guess if they had said it on the show.
The way that people were tweeting us about it, I would have thought he said it in this weird way, like, Daddy's happy. That's what I was expecting. That's what I was expecting. Otherwise, it's an absolute zero.
Yeah.
So the fact that they showed the dad and he said Daddy's happy, the only thing they're making fun of is that he said Daddy instead of Dad. Like, if he'd said, Dad's happy, no one would have said anything.
Daddy's happy!
Yeah, but in the context of the moment, it fit perfectly. Now, what I thought was funny, when there was somebody getting a haircut the other day.
And what did he say?
And he said, I need a little trim. I said, that's a drop.
Okay, sure.
Oh. You know, when you talk about trying to get a genuine reaction.
Yeah.
Like if you needed, I wonder when I'm going to know when Don saw the picture.
Oh. Oh, that's what it was. Don asked, we were talking about Tyrod Taylor's dating the very lovely Drea Michele.
Yes.
And he said, who's Drea Michele? I said, look her up. He looked her up. And then his immediate response was,
oh.
That's very good. That's Diamond Notes, by the way, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. Let's go back to Deshaun Watson for a moment today. We have not spent much time on it today at all. RG3 on First Take talking about the Watson situation.
For the NFL, they made the best business decision for themselves. But this was an opportunity for them to stand up for women and say, you know what? We don't care if this drags out, because this is our opportunity to say, women, we support you. We support you, and we understand that his behavior, as ruled by Judge Sue L. Robinson, qualified as sexual assault, qualified as sexual misconduct. And we're not just going to go for a year. We might even go for longer than that. We're not going to go for a $5 million fine. We might even go for longer than that, because there's no amount of games and no fine money that you can put on the feelings that these women have. And when I listened to his apology, Deshaun Watson wasn't apologizing for his behavior. He was apologizing for how his behavior made you feel. And we've all had somebody in our lives like that. And that's why I think he has no remorse and he has no contrition for what has happened. And I just want to pour out my heart for the women out there who have been affected, because as a father of 3 daughters, soon to be 4, I would never want my daughters to be exposed to any type of treatment, especially that type of treatment from a star player in one of the biggest leagues in the world.
Good stuff from RG3.
No, it's great, but I do think the NFL did what they had to do, Peter. Because what I would tell RG3 is, while you're fighting, he's playing. I think it was a moral imperative that he not be there opening day. So could they have fought to get a full year? Yeah, they probably could have. If they did, Peter, it might take a while to win that, and then he's playing all this year. Now, eventually they'll get their year, but I think they saw more value, a better message, him not being on the field to start the season.
That's a really interesting debate about what stance is more important, you know? And is there a world in which if they tried to go for more, and is there a world in which they still could have fought him playing in the meantime?
I don't know. But what happens while they're fighting? He's playing, right?
I don't know. Does that have to be?
Well, no, because I guess you would get a – it would just be like when you're appealing a suspension, right? You get to play until your hearing is heard. I would think if he's suing the league or if they – because that's what they would have to do, right? They would have to file like another suit, more appeals to try to get a deeper suspension. He would have to play during that, I would think. If I'm wrong, please somebody correct me officially.
But the truth is, I don't think, Don, it was about the standard of we need to get him out now. I do think it was that. But only in the sense that they want to get it over with, not about punishment.
Well, but that's
they want to
too.
They want to move on.
Well, I think there's value to moving on as well. But it's like, but what RG3 is saying, if your conviction is he did this, and we've got to get a year or more, then you fight for that. But while you're fighting for it, if he gets a chance to play, and he's winning, and he starts to control the narrative, and then you try to take next year away from him. Like, will it have the same feel while he went out and played and played successfully for a year? Also, what if you don't win it? You know, they already got it reduced from indefinite suspension down to 6, then they get 11. So what if you go out there and fight and he plays, Peter, and you don't win and you don't get what you wanted? Now he'll lose 11 games next year and lose a lot more money, so I guess there's value to that. But doesn't that send even a worse message that he's out there playing for his new team and maybe winning games and changing the narrative? Plus, the NFL, I got to tell you this, we didn't get into this that much yesterday. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the therapy he's going to have to get, because that's where the NFL might be able to get him. Because Adam Schefter's reporting that he's going to have to go and he is going to have to do what he has to do in those therapy sessions. Otherwise, the suspension could be longer. If he jerks around and doesn't show up or doesn't treat it seriously, he might get even more than 11 games. So he better take that seriously, because they're going to keep an eye on him. You know the NFL is just waiting to pounce the second that they get some sort of sense he's not getting that counseling, or he's not doing it, or not showing up, or leaving halfway through, or not paying attention, not doing the homework assignments they might give him. There's certain things that they're going to be watching him like a hawk.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's stay football. Here's Elijah Moore being asked about Joe Flacco. What's Joe Flacco?
He's just very calm and, like, nonchalant. A lot of quarterbacks maybe, like, are into it very energetic, but he's just very controlled and calm. So I feel like when he's in the huddle and he just speaks, he just gives everybody a loud. He's about to go first down or touchdown, so here we go. So having him adds, like, a swag to it. Grateful for sure.
And Flacco was asked who Elijah Moore reminds him of.
In some ways, you know, I think of Steve Smith just because of how explosive Steve was. And Steve didn't necessarily run routes like everybody else did, but he was always in the right spot. And I think Elijah has some of that in him. He can kind of feel when he's open, and you might not always get the same depth, or he may run the same route several times, completely different every time. And I think with him, it's just getting, like when I played with Steve, even though he was doing that, he was always in the right spot, always in the right timing. And I think Elijah's there 90% of the time. It's just that last little bit when he's doing those things, getting the feel for being in that right spot every time. Because you know that with a guy like that, with a guy that has his physical abilities, he's going to be a little bit different than everybody else. And you have to let him use those superpowers to his advantage.
All right.
Listen, if Elijah Moore looks like Steve Smith, guess what? That's exciting stuff here. I love Steve Smith. Todd Bowles was asked, what the hell's going on with Tom Brady?
We'll see. We'll talk about it next week. I'm not concerned about it right now. We're trying to practice against Tennessee and play a game. I said sometime after Tennessee, there's no definitive date for me, but we'll check on it. We'll keep in touch and we'll find out.
Yeah, but it's
a really interesting theory popped up on Reddit today, Don. Conspiracy theory, okay?
Oh, I love these. Let's see what this is.
This is an interesting one. The conspiracy theory is that the reason Brady is not with his Buccaneer teammates is because he's secretly appearing on The Masked Singer.
Okay.
No. What proof? What proof is there? There's proof. There's a historical precedent. I got a question for you, Don.
Yes.
Who did Tom Brady just sign a lucrative TV deal with?
That would be Fox.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember that Joe Buck was on The Masked Singer?
I would have no idea. I wouldn't watch that show.
Well, he was, Don. He was. And what network was Joe Buck working for?
Oh, Fox. There's no way this is true. He can't. You can't do it.
But what the hell? I agree.
He can't take a leave of absence from training camp. I know he's a god, but I think he needs camp. And he's going to miss it for The Masked Singer?
Well, what? I agree.
I don't
not
know what's
true.
Going on. That's why, well, I don't want to make fun, because it might be something very, very serious. And I assume it is something very serious. For a guy that wants to play to miss camp over, I mean, how disrespectful would that be to his teammates? They're all preparing for a season where, you know, it's not crazy to think they can compete for a Super Bowl, right? And he's going to miss time to be on The Masked Singer? No, he would be, if that's true, he is a colossal fraud. And a real piece of garbage.
By the way, according to the Tampa Bay Times, the situation has nothing to do with the health of Brady or his family, which is obviously great to hear if that's true.
But again, I don't want to speculate, but I'm gonna. You know, is there something going on with his marriage? He feels like he's got to get corrected before he can focus on this. You know. Was the whole retirement, no retirement thing? I mean, how hard was that on his family? I mean, there could be a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff. Who knows?
You know, but come on, Peter. I know sometimes we're not the biggest Brady fans because he does sometimes come across as a little, you know, bigger than life, self-important and all that. But you think Tom Brady's going to miss camp and preseason games in preparation for what could very well be his last season? To go be on The Masked Singer. I don't know what kind of ratings it gets, but it can't be doing that well.
By the way, this is also big news that just came down the pipe, too. A lot of speculation that Michael Kay is doing The Masked Singer as well. That's where he has been the last couple of months.
Now, that makes sense.
Now, they'd have to get the... They'd have to increase the size of their masks two or threefold.
Well, wouldn't that kind of give it away? Like, geez, that's a huge mask. So what is
it's
that got to
be Michael
Kay.
Yankee broadcaster Michael Kay is the only man with a head that big.
Right.
It's very interesting. There's a Pro Football Talk article right now. The Tom Brady training camp hiatus gets stranger and stranger from yesterday.
Come on.
It's all very weird, right?
That could be true. I want it to be true.
Now, remember, we did find out recently that we kind of blew past it. But the Dolphins did, in fact, tamper with Tom Brady.
Oh, sure.
And that piece happened here. That was in here. That was thrown into the mix during this hiatus.
Sure.
All very weird. And poor Todd Bowles has to stick with the same thing he had to stick with when he was talking to us. You know, I'm just worried about playing a football game against Tennessee. I mean, are you not concerned about the guy? I don't know. I'd say he affects their win total by, you know, I don't know, 8 games. Like, honestly, he's on that list of guys that they can give you the stats. They can tell you the number of games it would be according to Vegas, but you truly cannot even quantify how impactful he is.
It's huge.
That team, you don't even think of that team in remotely the same light without him.
And I feel bad for Todd because he probably knows the reason that Brady's out. He can't say anything. You can't make it all about one guy, even though we know that it is in this particular situation. But he does have to. He still has to coach his team. It's the last thing he needs. I really was excited for Todd. I mean, he won his Super Bowl ring as a defensive coordinator. Gets to be a head coach of a really good football team with a really good quarterback that now might just be an average team with an average quarterback. But I just hope everything's okay. I'm glad he's healthy and his family's healthy, but it doesn't sound like the situation's healthy.
Very, very, very interesting stuff. Jacoby Brissett on a quest to prove that he's the man to fill the shoes of Deshaun Watson. Good luck, pal. Steve Young had with some interesting words about the Ravens. Go ahead, Don.
I heard he was trending today. I saw it.
Yeah, here's Steve talking about the Ravens holding Lamar Jackson back.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in a sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is. And the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
Wow.
That's strong.
Did Steve just go as far as saying that on the right offense, Lamar Jackson would be the greatest quarterback of all time?
And I could see the Ravens being kind of a quarterback killer, right? They're kind of a throwback team, defense, running game.
Oh, there's never glorious quarterbacking on the Ravens.
But, you know, we've sometimes seen Jackson not necessarily make the throws. He's a beast. He's great with his legs. He makes things happen in the behind the line of scrimmage, but does he have an arm that makes you think that they're holding him back, or does he just not have that arm?
He doesn't have a powerful arm, Don, but I do think the conversation about him not being able to throw is grossly exaggerated.
Yeah, but no.
When I watch him, I see a guy I think can throw the football, but
that's not his strength.
It's not. Well, but I don't know. To Steve's point, it's hard to know. Maybe that's just what we've seen in Baltimore.
Well, first of all, you give Steve the benefit of the doubt just because he knows. Well,
that's Steve Young, right? That's the number
that's
one
Steve
guest
Young.
In the history. That's
right.
The number one guest in the history of the Michael Kay Show, right there.
But, you know, but is also part of it that they feel that there are limitations. That if they did do what Steve is suggesting, that maybe he'd get exposed a little bit. I mean, the Ravens want to win. You know, so there's obviously a method to their madness, and they know the quarterback better than anybody. He does have some fumbling issues. I mean, he's not the perfect quarterback, but he is a former MVP. It's interesting because the Ravens aren't that team. I mean, they've been a good team, but they're kind of a throwback to how you play football.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something about Lamar Jackson. You know what he is when it comes to Baltimore? The best quarterback in the history of the franchise, and it's not even close. That's what he is. Not even close.
Yeah,
it's repugnant, the list of quarterbacks. Well, Flacco's too.
You know who their first quarterback was?
Well, I'm looking right now, so I see it's Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde. He was a good quarterback, but certainly not.
Well, that was right. That was like a year or two after the Jets. He was cooling down.
96. No, well, no, because they went in 96, right? And he was with the Jets a couple of years later.
Oh, it was after?
It was just he was a Raven before a Jet.
Oh, wow. Is it just Oh, no, he was a Jet. Oh, no, he was a Raven.
He was a Raven in 96 when they moved.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
I haven't heard it in a while.
That's a Hall of Famer. Really, that's,
yeah, that's first ballot. That's first ballot.
I do think at some point we should have, you know, maybe it could be a podcast or something. I don't know how many. Maybe on the 10th anniversary of Drop Madness, we can like start inducting some drops into the Hall of Fame. Or have like a Hall of Fame.
I love a Ring of Honor. I love that idea.
And that would be one of them.
Oh, yeah, that could be that could be in the first class.
Yeah, that's the first class. That's the Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, like, class. Like, we just, yeah, that's
to me. Andrew, where do you have that all time?
It's number one all time. I've always said that.
And there's a story behind it. Like, you could do a 30 for 30 on it. Like, it's not just, there's a lot that went into me. The reason it's so great is that there were a lot of things involved there. There was a lot of moving, a lot of people were involved. A lot of things happened behind the scenes.
Was it about Eric Weddle? Is that who it was?
Yeah, that's right.
It was Weddle.
And it was me just, you know, going.
And so, and who was in your ear, Andrew?
I just remember him being a Raven.
Right.
And so I said Ravens.
Right.
And Andrew said something in my head I didn't hear.
Okay.
So because I said former Raven is when he said so. So I guessed what he said, that he was correcting me, saying, no, he's still with the Raven. He's still current. So I said current. And he said, no, L.A. So I, instead of picking Rams, which should have been my pick, I said Chargers. He said, no, Chargers. I was like, no, Rams. So I'm chasing my tail. And it's not, none of it's Andrew's fault. But Andrew is so involved. It really is just as much his drop as mine.
Well, let's hear it one more time, please, Andrew.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
By the way, give me my credit. I'm rolling along with you there.
Yeah, I mean, you have a hand in it, too, because you could have said something or done something that made the drop obsolete. You didn't. You laid out just enough, contributed just enough.
Mark Conha?
Yeah.
I was just absent-minded enough, you know, and Andrew was right there trying to do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
It was. It really is.
It's glorious.
It's the greatest drop of all time.
Let's close out with this day in history. We go back to 1995.
Can I guess?
You can try.
I think this is a Tyson vehicle.
Yes, it is.
And it didn't take
long. It's real funny, huh?
Yeah, who do you think it is?
I think knocking out McNeely in, what, 90 seconds?
Less than that. And for Medfield, Massachusetts' own,
of course,
Peter McNeely. Let's hear it.
It's real funny, huh? If any one of you doesn't respect me or what I'm doing or what I've been doing for the last 3 months since it's been announced, and going against a guy like this, you'd have a big dump in your pants. Okay. I'm Hurricane Peter McNeely from Medfield, Mass. On Saturday night, watch me kick Tyson's. But if you haven't made your pay-per-view arrangements yet, make them soon. Because remember what happens when I wrap you in my cocoon.
And McNeely, as advertised, comes right at Mike Tyson. Down goes McNeely. Seconds into the first round.
His speech was longer than the fight.
it was such a fun. If you're a kid out there, you're a youngster, and you haven't like lived the whole Tyson history, all of his fights are on YouTube in full, like including like the lead up to it. Go watch the YouTube of the McNeely experience, the highlights of the press conference. Don King just found this guy. Tyson just got out of jail. And I believe that fight, Don, was free TV, I believe.
On TV.
I think it was one of the Fox ones. And it was such a huge deal that Tyson was fighting. It literally didn't matter. They could have put a soda can in there. It made no difference. And they find this guy, Peter McNeely, and he was just such a character and so bad. And Mike destroyed him. And that will do it for ENN on this Friday, August 19th. Coming up next, another conversation we enjoyed yesterday from Giants training camp with Evan Neal. Hang tight. Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. And yes,